Okay, so we have come to an end with an overview of the main concepts or the main modeling elements that ER introduces. And now we are going to look at some rule of thumbs on how to design good diagrams. So first of all, naming. Use singular names for entity types. So we saw in this example a player or team. So these are singular names. We use the uppercase letters for the entity type and relation type names. So you see here player, PlaySeen, and team, and are all capitalized or capitalized letter. For attribute names, we also use the first one. The first letter is capitalized, like we see name, we see number. They all start with a capital letter and then small letters. And for role names, as we saw in the supervising relationship, we used the small lowercase letters. In requirement documents that typically come as text files or natural language, we look for nouns that could potentially give rise to entity type names. So always remember that nouns can be connected to entity type names, and verbs basically connect or generate relationship types. Attributes generally arise from additional nouns. So again, attributes we look for nouns, and these typically describe the nouns corresponding to entity types. We have to choose binary relationships names to make the diagram typically readable from left to right. So we go from left to right and top to bottom. That's how we read the diagrams. In our example here, we read from left to right. So player, PlaySeen, team. If we add more concepts like player leaves scene, we would start with a line from player going down to another entity type like location. Okay, so when you design a ER model, you have to see this as an iterative process, and in each iteration, you refine the model to make it improve it and make it better in the end. So always think of modeling as an iterative process in which an initial design is created and then refined until the most suitable model is reached. So what all the refinement process include? It can include a decision on whether a concept should be modeled as an attribute or refined into a relationship, or an attribute that exists in several entity types may be elevated to an independent entity type. So creating entity types from attributes. An entity type may be reduced to an attribute. Ternary relationships may be replaced by binary relationships, and so on. So you start with one model and then try to refine it, try to move things around so that you come to a proper model. It's very important that all relationships, all relationship types have constraints associated to them. So that whether it's one-to-one, one-to-n, and so on, it's important that these constraints are added. So we see here, for example, an employee sits in an office, we lack the cardinality ratios that should belong to sitting relationship. So these are constraints that need to be added. In our case, could be one, let's see, one employee can sit in many offices. No, that's not the case. So an office can host multiple employees. So we have to think in that from that perspective in order to decide whether it's what kind of cardinality ratio should be added here. Another thing to pay attention to is redundancy. So capturing the same information in multiple ways. Let's look at the example here. We have an employee that has four attributes. One of them is department name. At the same time, we see that the employee in a relationship works for with department, and this department also has a name. So there is something unnatural here in the sense that department name is both directly associated to the employee, but it's also associated in the context of the works for relationship. So we have to do something about this and either remove it from employee and add it to the leave it only for the department, or add it to the employee and then remove the works for a relationship, which would be redundant. In our particular case, we'd probably prefer the lower one. And the reason for that is that in the first, the upper part, we only record one attribute of the department, which is its name. So in this case, it's probably not necessarily to have a different entity type called department. So with this, we do a summary of the notation that ER introduces. So rectangles for entities, double rectangles for entity weak entities, relationships, so those that involve entities are diamonds. Identifying relationship are double diamonds. Attributes, the ovals that are connected to entities. Key attributes are the underlying names of the attributes, and then we have multi-valued attributes, double ovals, composite attributes that form relationships, and derived attributes. And then we also have the total participation, the double line constraint, and different types of binary relationships, one to many, many to one to one, and many to many. So this is a summary of the basic ER diagram notation. What you have to keep in mind is that ER is not a standardized graphical notation, and there are several variants that are used in practice. So, for example, here you see the various types of notations that can be used for modeling with ER. Baker's notation, IDEF1X, draws good notation. You can also do ER modeling with UMR class diagrams and so on. There, on the right hand side, you see different variants of the same information that is captured in the chance notation. The first one is the original notation that we study in the group in this course, and it's equivalent in different other notations, like the lower part you are now. So just be careful when you search for ER examples. You may come across different visual elements that are used. Essentially, they can capture the same basic information that was introduced with the notation that we studied today. So to sum up the lecture, we introduce ER notation as a way to design conceptual models from requirements from the requirements analysis phase. It's important to keep in mind the fact that we model entities, we model their attributes, and we can abstract them into entity types. These entities are connected with relationships, which we can abstract into relationship types. Here we have different types of relationship depending on how many entities are involved in the relationship. We looked at the binary relationship, which are relationships between two entity types, and then we also defined roles for entities and also attributes that are associated to relationships. We looked at constraints, structural constraints, basically specifying the minimum and maximum number of relationships that given entity can be part of. And we also looked at key constraints through the key attributes. We discussed also about weak entity types, so entities that don't have a unique way to, they don't have key attributes. And we also looked at some design issues like naming conventions and ways how to identify redundancy in the models. Now, before we move on to an example, you have to keep in mind that all the models that you are designing can be refined, and doing database modeling is not a black and white process, so the result can be somehow subjective and interpretable. However, these models that are generated, they are meant to be precise enough to help in generation of logical models into relational schemas. So keep in mind that all models can be wrong, but some of them are useful in the process of database design.